Quite the story this morning from 1 Kings. If you've never heard it before, it's one of those classic stories from the Old Testament that has a little bit of everything. Action and tension, a whole lot of confrontation, a little bit of surprise, and maybe even the supernatural. In 1 Kings 18, we are dropped into the middle of a story that is unfolding for the last few chapters. Israel is in the middle of a 3-year drought. And this meeting and confrontation has been building for a couple chapters now. So let's recap the central characters in this story. We have King Ahab. He ruled over the northern kingdom of Israel for about 20 years and was not well regarded in the Old Testament. In fact, he's one of, if not the worst king that graced the pages of the Hebrew Bible. So Ahab married Jezebel, who was not an Israelite, and together they introduced and influenced the worship of Baal, who was a Canaanite god who supplied rain that ensured the growth of crops into the Israelites' worship life. Under the direction and leadership of Ahab, Israel distanced itself from its covenant with their God, the Lord. So we have the prophets of Baal too, some 450 of them who will go to great lengths to appease their God. They'll cry and they'll shout and they'll dance. They'll even take knives and cut themselves in hoping that their sacrifice would encourage their God to show himself. There's Elijah, who is one of the most well-known prophets in the Hebrew Bible. And then there are the Israelites, who in many ways are the central characters in this story. It's their constant wavering that has caused this showdown to occur. From the beginning of our story, we see that they have not lost their way, but they actually don't know who the one true God is. Elijah says, "How long will you go back and forth between the Lord and Baal? Whoever is God, follow him." And the Israelites are speechless. They don't have an answer to that question. This confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal is for the benefit of the Israelites. And this story is a journey for them of discovering that the Lord is God and no other. And that's what we want in our own journeys of faith, right? We want to get to a place where we can confidently say, the Lord indeed is God. We want that sense of conviction and affirmation. We want that firm faith and trust in the Lord. That's why we've gathered here today. But it's challenging to get there, isn't it? It's challenging to discern what is of the Lord and what is not. In our world, there are many voices claiming to be God's voice. So many people claiming to be God's people that it's challenging to strip away and separate what is of God and what might not be of God. The road to the Lord indeed is God is hard and can be a little confusing. One afternoon a couple months ago, I heard a knock on our door to find two Jehovah's Witnesses standing outside with a pamphlet in one hand and an eagerness to start a conversation on the other. But after about 30 seconds, I realized they weren't really looking for a conversation. They weren't as interested in what I might bring to the conversation. So I decided to pull out the pastor card. I really don't do this that often, but I felt this was as good a time as ever. And I said, "Well, so thanks for stopping by. You know, I am a Presbyterian pastor," hoping we might find some common ground on which to stand, but it didn't work. I needed to believe exactly what they believed. Each of us trying to follow Jesus, yet each of us believing and living our faith in very different ways. The road to the Lord indeed is God can be confusing. So we know many of the ways to get there. We spent our January sermon series talking about them with our principles of discipleship. So prayer and Bible study, service, worship, hospitality. All of them are needed partners for us on this journey. All are required. But for today, I'd like to offer a couple more that we might chew on and think about a little bit. A couple thoughts that might help us to move us along on this journey. So first, on the road to affirming the Lord indeed is God, be open to a faith that is in process. What I mean by that is be open to a faith that is not just open to growing and changing, but desiring growing and changing. Not only be okay with it, but see it as an opportunity that there is always more of God in the life of faith, always waiting to be discovered. If you were here 2 weeks ago when Mel Bringle preached, we also celebrated our confirmands that Sunday. And we had a great group of teens this year, inquisitive and wise, caring. And what we tried to say to them when we met for our classes is that they're really just beginning their journey. They're just starting out, and this is not the end. Because confirmation can sometimes have a little bit of a feeling of graduation. Since I'm now confirmed, I get to make my own choice if I want to come or not, so I won't be coming anymore on Sundays. Which is my story. I was confirmed and graduated, and I made a choice not to come for a while. There's this joke, you might have heard it before, it's used in many Christian denominations. I first heard it in the Lutheran church. The pastor and the sexton are at their wits' end of what to do. These birds have made a home way up high in the steeple of the church, and they've made a mess. There's droppings, and there's feathers everywhere. They're noisy and distracting, and they can't figure out how to get them out. They are completely out of ideas. So as the pastor and sexton look up at the steeple, bewildered as of what to do next, the sexton leans over to the pastor and says, "Well, we could always run them through the confirmation class. That might get them out of the church." And that was my story. Be open to a faith that is always in process, that is open to and desiring to grow and learn more about God. Second, the road to affirming the Lord indeed is God is a grace-filled journey. We don't get to a place of affirmation, a place of trust, a place of deep love for God without first experiencing God's unconditional love for us. And to do that, we sometimes have to let go of certain images we have of God that might have been a part of our journey since as far back as we can remember. Sometimes these images don't keep us moving on this journey. I've discovered that it can be pretty hard to get to a place of trust in a God who loves us, who is for us, who wants the best for us, when the image of God we have is one where God is disappointed with us, when we make a mistake. And I wonder, how can we ever truly love and place our trust in a God when we, at the core of our being, are kind of afraid of this God? The road to affirming the Lord indeed is God is a grace-filled journey, a journey of affirming our own belovedness in God's eyes. And finally, number three, we do it best when we do it together. I sometimes think to myself, what would I do if I wasn't a pastor and I wasn't paid to be here on Sunday morning? I wonder, when I get up and make some breakfast, when I then go find my favorite chair, my living room that I love to sit in, would I make a nice big cup of coffee? Would I grab the Sunday paper? Would I put my feet up and read the sun? No. Well, maybe for a couple weeks. Our journey to affirming that the Lord indeed is God, we do it together in community. And as we study together, we learn from one another. We wrestle together with the scriptures and our own understanding of God. We discuss our lives, our world, and how they all intersect with one another. We discuss how we believe God is calling us to live in this world. And we grow together. We challenge one another. But we do it together. Each of us encouraging the other along the way. The road to the Lord indeed is God is slow. It's at times very mysterious, but it's a grace-filled journey. And we won't find this kind of journey anywhere else. Thanks be to God.